I wrote the motivation. I tried to write the motivation.
Okay, great.
So, I actually committed in the Git. I didn't check the spelling or.
That's fine. Spelling is the least of our problems right now.
So, I was just trying to write, get a flow of how to.
Okay.
And I actually took a lot of things from the.
Okay, good. Okay, so this is the what is missing piece, and the others are things which.
It is the motivation. This is the repetition of how the NVM is accessed. How the different kind of devices are accessed over which bus, like IO bus and the memory bus. So they are different. And this is the assumption that we are assuming that PM is going to be attached to the memory bus and will be accessed directly. And the OS and OS will manage the resources and other things.
Right.
And this is the requirements. So what do you need? There is 4 points in the CSR, but I just tried to
in the web, 4 points
in the what is it, grant
in the proposal.
Proposal.
Okay.
So I that was later in the proposal.
Okay.
So I think if you first establish the requirements, then we can have a comparison. With the requirements, so I bring those forward, and
that's great.
Then compare this.
Okay.
The subsection names are just I wrote that.
Right. So just quickly, I'm trying to understand what. The what is missing piece, the persistent namespace is clear, consistent updates. I think you describe what you mean by that at some point, right?
Yeah. Let me.
Is it data or metadata or both?
Actually, don't describe that well.
Okay, so it would be important to describe each of these properties somehow.
Elaborate a little bit more.
Yeah, and it's important to also be consistent with what shows up here and what shows up here, for instance.
Yeah.
In terms of terminology.
Yeah. Some of them are different.
But that's an easy fix. Yeah. I mean, that's just to make... And you have to have all of these here as well.
Right? Here.
And there is a little bit of gap between what do we need and what is missing. Right. Do we have this? What do we have in between? Which is, I guess it's.
Alright. This can be combined actually.
2.3 and 2.4, yeah. That's what I've been thinking.
Just wanted to have a flow of how I was thinking and then.
Okay. This looks like a good start. I think there is some consolidation required. And what comes after this in the motivation?
This is the last para,
okay,
or something that will introduce the region system.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say that okay, these are the things that we need, but they don't belong to any of the interfaces,
mm-hmm.
And we can't actually. We can try to, like some of them have tried to introduce these concepts. Requirements or satisfy these requirements by file interface, and some like Nemos and other ones use memory interface, but we don't want to modify or modify any particular current subsystem. We propose, as this is a new kind of device with new properties, we want to solve this by a new interface. Which should be appropriate, something like that.
Yeah, that's not a good enough argument for why you want to use the region system. It could be any other new system, right?
Yeah, and we can show that this, the final point and this one, they are not satisfied. This one is not satisfied by any of the current file systems. The consistent update is like MSync.
So here you say yes, though, right? I mean, do you want some other, besides like this binary thing, do you want some other granularity here, maybe add another partial granularity or something like that. And the other is, if block interface is all no, it does no good for anything, why even talk about it? It seems like...
Yeah, actually put it because we initially talked about...
Don't be restricted by what material you already have. I think that's... That can be a problem. But at the same time, I'm not saying that you should get rid of this block interface altogether. Think about what it's good for. Is it good for something that...
Can we add the newer file systems here? Let's say PPFS or PMFS in a group.
Hmm.
And put a...
So conventional file...
Conventional files down and newer file systems. Then we can actually... say that, okay, well, this can be broken into two parts.
Mm-hmm.
The consistent updates can be broken into two parts for metadata and data.
Okay.
That way, it will be more clear.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good idea. And then it's not just memory interface versus file interface. It would be more about specific design for the file interface. Right.
So the basic idea was to compare against this requirement that we established.
Yeah.
And then say, okay, the others don't satisfy that, and we have a way to satisfy that, and that is the region system.
So you're just trying to fill this out right now, which is by making it more informative, by bringing in the newer file systems. The block interface, is it not good for anything at all?
It's good. It's good for big, large granularity data access. But for persistent memory, there's one, I think I read the paper. Protected block.
Mm-hmm. Safe user space access.
Yeah, but thing. I didn't have time to read the paper.
So. And then there is one more, which is...
Another thing which confuses me is... most of the time, block interface is beneath the file interface. So somehow,
yes,
file interface.
It's not here. You're not just talking about interface.
Yeah.
Right. You're talking about actual solution.
Actual solutions.
So talking about block interface is not, or file interface, or memory interface is not. It's not a good idea because. The same interface could provide these properties that you're asking, talking about. So you should talk about solutions here, or classes of solutions, like you were saying. Conventional block-based file systems, just as a raw block device, memory, as memory. And these are solutions, and new file systems, and maybe heap-oriented memory access.
We're talking about NVMe.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but as classes, not as individual solutions.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good idea.
So then, do we need to have these, or
you won't need, you won't have this, but some alternate form of this discussion would go into this, and maybe this table will not come here, but it might come as a bigger table. Two column on the top of the page, and you talk about the table in this section, and you don't really have this elaborate section here, but maybe a summary of it at the end of this section that might work.
At the end of this section, or just a little,
or just a little bit, or it's like quick summary as opposed to having it set up this way and being forced to talk about each of those interfaces in your table.
Yeah.
This is about the interface, and that's about the solution.
Yeah. That's the problem.
So, which is why I was like a little bit concerned that you have requirements for the solution here,
mm-hmm.
and then the interface here, and then a discussion of solution again here. Right? So another iteration is required.
So I'll change this to smaller, concise.
But at the same time, when you talk about solution here and an interface here and solution again here, That's a little bit of an issue. So you might want to think about where to present this material, even if it's short. Whether it should go earlier, or it should go later, or somewhere else, maybe merge into some of the discussion up here.
Can edit here, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can edit to the initial discussion.
Yeah, that might be okay. Yeah. And there you could, then the connection here is, how should PM be used, right? You've already talked about memory, or maybe at the beginning of this section.
Yeah, that's also
nice. Because you're talking about what is available in terms of interfaces, and here you're talking about what are the properties of PM, and you know, what is it good for, and so on. What are the ideal interfaces and such. Okay. So if you can do an iteration. I was hoping to work on the introduction over the weekend, but I just got too busy. But I'll spend some time tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'll have something for you by end of tomorrow.
Okay.
With respect to the introduction. We'll pipeline the changes.
I want to complete the structure of the paper within this week.
Leo, have you taken a look at the introduction section?
No, because we're waiting for your changes.
Okay. So let me do that, and then you can take a look again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
The same time, it would be good for you to read what already is there, so that you can at least get a sense for what Atha is thinking, and then my revision will reflect, a layer on top of what Atha was thinking.
Okay.
It'd be good to have your thoughts as well to how we could make things
right. Better. Even if I don't make any changes, I
even
can
if you make
comments.
No changes, if you can send in some comments, I think that would be good.
Okay. Yeah, I can definitely do that. I can definitely do that.
Okay. So, right. So the Friday meeting, unfortunately, I have a PhD defense to attend at exactly the same time. Can you meet on Thursday at 3:30 PM instead?
Yeah, I have to have only one class at 5.
Wait a minute. Oh no.
What? Are you here on Thursday?
No. Less, sorry.
I can come or enjoy via Skype.
Wait, Well, this would have to be a short meeting because I have something else at 4 o'clock. So 3:30? Either 3:30 or 11:30, what do you prefer? Yeah.
It's fine.
Either one is okay. It's to 11:30. Because then I might have a 15 more minutes.
Are you going to be here on campus?
I will be on campus. Yeah. This Friday we are meeting with Yufeng.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So you want to talk quickly about what you're doing?
Yeah. I haven't done much progress about the paper yet. But I watched the video you sent, and there are many interesting things. But one of the things that caught my attention is that the guy talks about
Git repository. Yes.
Yeah, and in particular, this one, they are building a user space memory library for persistent memory.
Okay.
What
does the interface look like?
I haven't gotten that deep yet, but I got a copy of the code and there are examples and a bunch of test cases. It seems that it has the basic functionality already in place, so we might or may not use this as a comparison point.
That certainly seems like a potential.
They have a memory allocator, and the library. I actually looked into it after the first thing, and the memory allocator does the
memory map files, right?
Yeah, and it's like they take care of the flashing and other things from the library.
Flashing?
The flash, cache flashing.
Oh, flashing.
Yeah, okay. From the library. They have library also.
Yeah, it's a library.
Yeah, so they do, they have like three or four.
Why would they need to flush? When do they need to flush?
That's the question. Actually, I didn't look into the code completely.
They do need to flush, right? Otherwise, there's no guarantee that.
It depends on what semantics they are offering.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree that any reasonable semantics would call for flushing, but I don't know what semantics they are offering.
Right, right. Yeah,
so it'd be good to know what the interface is,
right?
What the entity.
I also started to write the fix file in the address space.
Hmm.
It seems that I would be able to recycle a big chunk of the code that I already have in place that matches the file.
Okay.
In fact, I just have to remove some of the body that maps individual pages and keeps track of what big map and what's less. So, mm-hmm. I think I should be able to finish that fairly quick.
Okay. Okay, I see. So the other thing I wanted to have is, do you have a good sense of the various solution alternatives that we would want to evaluate? What are the variants?
For the user space library? No.
So it would be a good thing to have a discussion about that explicitly, so we know where we stand in terms of the alternatives.
Okay, when is a good time for that?
Whenever we meet next, which would be Thursday, I think. Good to keep revisiting the alternatives we have, and if we are satisfied with that, I think this is a new one which we added recently, right, which is fixed address space.
Yes.
It's a new one. So besides that, what else do we have? And I think it would be good to have a discussion about it once you have figured it out for yourself.
Right. So far we have four, right? We have the fixed one, the one with closure, the one without closure, and the fixed one.
Okay. Is there something? And they are all based off of PMFS. All use PMFS.
Yeah, that's what provides persistence. I mean durability.
Okay. All right. So that sounds reasonable.
What I still have no clue is a general direction for the paper. Like, I was trying to come up with a list of contributions. But I guess I'm not sure what those are.
If you have something as a starting point, then you can build on it.
True, but it seems to me that to have a list of contributions, I have to have more context, like, based on what's already there. Which I guess I can borrow a lot from what you have done so far. The contribution by definition has to be something unique, right?
Of course.
So the only thing that comes to my mind is just the closure. Everything else needs to be done already.
What is the contribution of this paper as you see it at a high level? It can't be just the closure. What is the contribution of the paper as a whole?
That's what's not clear to me yet.
Mm-hmm. I think we had a little bit of discussion about this last time. Maybe a comparative study of various kinds of solutions, right?
Oh, when you asked that, yes, that's what we talked about. When you asked that, I was thinking about the contribution of this project, not the paper itself. But I guess we should focus on the paper, right? Like, we're going to think of the library, like, what's the contribution? Like, it's not much new there besides
that. Let's focus on the paper. I think in the end, that's what matters. like what gets on paper. And I think the contributions of the library will be some part of this overall story, right, of the paper itself. And if you want to write a paper just about the library, I think we can do it as well. And then we would have to focus on the contributions of the library at that point. But for this paper, the upcoming paper, I think it's the set of contributions are broader.
All right. Right.
And it centers around what are the properties of the persistent memory, and what is a good interface at the application level to use this new technology, and whether that kind of match is good. And I think that the PMMIO is, in some sense, it's falls in the class of solutions for this kind of thing. So it would be good to understand it a little bit more so that we can evaluate where it fits in which class of solutions.
Sure.
So does it involve developer effort, how much developer effort, what kind of effort and such, right?
Right.
So I think understanding this PMMIO, I'm glad you've identified this from the presentation that I forwarded to you as relevant for your current work.
Yeah, well, the presentation by itself, I think, was pretty relevant. And as you mentioned, yes, the questions were by far the most interesting part.
Yeah, it's true. And it's good. The audio is reasonably good for you to understand all the questions and the speaker also repeated many of those questions, so that was good. So in terms of the closure work, that's already taken done?
No. I still haven't implemented what we discussed about the three different stages for the delete.
Oh, okay.
The closure is done.
Mm-hmm.
What's missing is the delete. But the closure itself, it is completed.
Delete. Remind me again what is missing?
The logic for the delete, right? The delete itself also has to be atomic.
Mm-hmm.
And well, not atomic, it has to be the way we provide atomicity is by having this mechanism that we roll back. So the delete operation has to be rolled back able. Something like that.
Should be done on the current version of the container as opposed to the snapshot version of the container.
No, I think it's in the current version. Yeah, the current version is supposed
to be.
It
needs to be done
in the current version.
In the current version of the container, and we said that
yeah.
Well, we can postpone many of the things that we do for delete until the sync call.
Yes, yes.
And all of that needs to be done, I guess, atomically or in an idempotent fashion.
Yeah, that's the implementation that I'm following.
Yeah.
That just metadata is collected and then everything is done later on.
Okay. And so, Atha, please join us on Friday. You're meeting with Yu Feng. Yeah. And for that meeting, would be good to meet 15 minutes ahead of time so that we have good agreement on what we should be focusing on during the meeting.
True. A couple of comments to focus my directions a bit before that meeting. Last time we met, we talked about how memories are located, how pages are gotten from the file. So we already know that. I already find out how pages are written. So the mechanism is somewhat as expected, as you perform actual write. It's that you know that there are two phases of the commit, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the first phase, when the writes are actually performed, it's simple. It keeps track of all the dirty pages, look through that list, and then writes the pages with a simple write operation. But that's how it happens in the first phase of the commit.
First phase of the commit copies the previous versions of the page, right? Because it's a undo log.
No, that's done even before the first phase.
What is done? The undo log.
So the way it works is that before you write, you call this function that says make this page writable, and that just logs the page.
Okay.
And then you perform the at the actual write, but it's memory. It's not a write to the file. It's a write to the page in memory, right? And then when the write commit comes, they need the well not the write commit, but the first phase of the commit. Then what you do is you sync the log, because already those pages are already in the log. So you sync the log to make sure that it's already in the media. If that is that operation completes successfully, then you write the pages to the file, the database file. And the way you do that is that you keep track of all the pages that you make writable, which are marked in the cache as dirty. Then you look through that list of dirty pages and you write those pages. If that operation is completed successfully, then you go to the second phase of the commit, which is basically getting rid of the log entries.
I see. Okay.
So
the pages are updated in place in memory?
The pages are there in memory, and eventually written to the file.
How are they updated, do you know? I mean, how... What I mean by that is that the B-tree data structure... So if I were to do an update, say updating a record within some table,
yes.
Updating a record in some database table.
Yes.
Using the B-tree, you have to make the updates happen. Because the B-tree will tell you where the page resides.
But it's not exactly like that. But what exactly do you want to know? Maybe I can take you there faster.
I'm trying to figure out what I want to know.
So to wrap up what I said, now we know how pages are read from the file, and where they come from, especially when we're appending things to the file, and when they are written. The other thing that I'm currently learning is whether this page, whatever is in the file, is the same thing that is in memory, whether we have two different representations of the memory pages or in the file pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't fully understand that yet, but I think there are not two representations, but there is extra metadata once the pages load into memory.
It has to be, right? Because, well, actually, it doesn't have to be. You could still walk through the entire database as if it were on file.
The thing is that the assumption is that the amount of pages that you're going to have in memory, it's very small compared to the amount of pages that you're going to have in disk. It's a database, right? So it's supposed to be big. So it is highly optimized to write very few, as many bytes as few bytes as possible to the file. So everything is compact in the pages. And then as you start loading the page, you actually load that page, but there is some a structure that actually has a point to that page and metadata about that page. Extract that and put that in the page. And the way you walk through the tree is by using something that they call cursor. So the way it works is that as you start reading the page, you read some information on the page and you expand the metadata, and that metadata is used by this cursor that walks down the path of the tree and maintains the state of where you are in the tree. This is the guy that is used to basically go to any place in the tree.
I see. Let's talk about this a little bit more on Thursday.
Yes.
You're saying that you still need to understand some pieces of the puzzle.
True. But what I wanted to ask you is, what else do we need to know? What do we want to know for the meeting?
I think the last time you spoke, we said that we want to have an understanding of how exactly a query that creates a table and adds a database table record word function
for
the control
yes.
flow.
But that's I can tell you about the different type of pages that there are. But you don't want to talk about them now, right?
No. I mean, that's what we talk. We said that will maybe help us understand how, where is the bridge between the memory structures and the storage structures, and because in the end, what we are trying to do is to convert everything into a memory facing operation, right? A memory oriented operation.
True.
And it may not be entirely possible with SQLite, which stores all its data, packs them into pages, and doesn't have any other representation besides these data contained in pages. And that's what we want to try and understand. Where is the barrier between the in-memory structure and the pages of the file, of the database itself? And to understand that, it would be useful to understand how a table gets created or how a record gets added to a table, or even how a record gets looked up. Look up maybe not as informative as an insert or a table create.
Yeah, a table create is basically adding a new page to the file.
Right, but doing other things, right? I mean, you create some metadata about the table and such. And
that metadata is volatile.
It's all volatile, so...
Right.
Because a table create is not a persistent query.
Table create is a persistent operation, but it basically in the essence is that you add a new page, which is a new root of a bit tree in the file, and then you update some other metadata in the file that tells you where to find that root page for that table.
And but there is some metadata which talks about how the table is structured.
Yes.
Right, so it's more than just creating a new page. In file,
but it's creating a new page for the root of that bitrate and storing metadata about that
table.
Yeah.
So then the next question is, well, what are the in-memory structures and how they get propagated to and inside to the file, right? How they and can we intercept the file-oriented operations and convert them into memory-oriented operations? Because that's what we would ideally like to do. And the same question for when you're inserting a row into an existing table. What happens from between memory and how that row is represented in memory, and eventually how does it make it to the page containing the database table?
It seems to me that in the layer that has the logic of the bitrate, that layer has no notion of files. It just talks about pages.
Mm-hmm.
And it operates on in-memory pages.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't know anything about pages in the file. That's why it has these other two layers on the name. So it seems to me that if we were to replace the layer that currently is called pager, and it just fits pages that were allocated from the memory, then we don't have to do anything else.
Right, so I think that's our current understanding. It would be good to also understand, or you give us an overview of the control flow for these two operations, creating a table and adding a record to an existing table, and maybe, you know, looking up, doing a lookup query of, and how that works. I think that'll help bridge some of the gaps, at least for me. And I think the Cheng and Yufeng's understanding is probably better than mine, but they, I don't think they understand this control flow either very well. So which is why they were asking for your help.
Right. Yes. The other interesting thing that I found was that the type of page that are stored in the file, and two of them are actually the interesting ones. The whole tree, it's made, all the pages in the tree except the leaf ones are called enumeration map pages, and what you store there is basically an array of tuples, pointers and keys. So you have a bunch of keys and pointers that tells you what the page number is for that range. And then in the leaf, what you have, it's basically some metadata at the beginning and something that they call cell pointers and then cell data. And in the cell data is where you have the actual content, the data, and the cell pointer has offsets in the page for that cell.
Okay.
Everything is stored in that cell. And so that's basically how data is stored in disk.
So you, but the control flow as to how a query is translated into specific page offsets, where that's happening, and the logic that creates a memory address to say here is where you need to make a modification inside the database file. Maybe it's not at the B-tree layer, it's about, it's higher up. But that's the control flow I'm looking for to understand better. So if you do a micro query, say create a table, and just do a GDB step through to see what happens.
That's not a lesson scale.
I know it's not easy. I'm not saying that it would be right, but maybe at some granularity you can understand what's going on with the control flow.
Yeah, I understand what you want. I'll do my best to try to answer the question.
Sure, and it's perfectly understandable if you can't, and it's going to take more time, so be it. Correct. But I think that's the kind of questions we are looking to answer, and I think you're already answering many of the questions that we want answered without going through this control flow route by understanding the design of SQLite in other ways, right? But we can't be entirely sure that your understanding is correct until we nail down this control flow.
Oh yes, absolutely.
That's the reason, one of the reasons for why.
The things that I have been learning so far are more lower level, like more basic things like where pages come from, when they are written, how they are read, and things like that.
But how is this connected into a query, into an actual query, from the start to the finish? I think that is the piece that would complete our understanding of what have you learned so far.
I agree.
All right, guys, I have to go to class. But I'll see you guys on Thursday at 11:30. Thank you.